So, yes, Krishna says that if you reject work, you cannot even maintain your body without work, and if you reject prematurely, then it's worse than, according to Srila Prabhupada, than a sweeper in the street, yeah? Because one becomes a pretender. As Puranchana Maharaj was giving an example how 20 years ago in Mumbai he was distributing books, and then as soon as he knocked on some door, the all the windows went shut and nobody answered. So he asked, what's happening? So they said that there are some people who dress like sadhus. They go around and then they come in and then they check out, you know, what people have, some TV set or whatever is expensive those times, and then they ask, oh, it's getting hot, do you go out somewhere in the mountain, in the hill stations? You go for a vacation? Oh yeah, we go for a vacation. Then they know, okay, so the house is going to be empty. And then they, you know, they think. So, of course, these people are just thieves, basically. Pardon?
Fakes.
They would hypnotize. Oh. So, one would think, you know, why would you need to... Well, there are some people, like in some countries, the gypsies are known, famous as, you know, as being able to do something. But this is, yeah, these are just thieves, basically. Even thieves, they learn psychology very well. They are very subtle psychologists. They know how to talk to the person in such a way that the person... They exploit false ego, usually. Pride and greed or something like this. Very often, they are con artists. They are called con artists, confidence artists. And they... what is it? Oftentimes they don't even push. One of the very famous con games is a guy comes into a bar with a violin, and then he comes with a violin, and then he puts the violin on the table, and then he starts asking the guy, do you have any music shops here, or do you have any auctions here, or pawn shops, you know, it's where you give something and then they give you some money, they lend you some money, and then if you bring back, they give the thing back to you. How do you say it?
Starinalnitsa.
Yeah. And then the guy is asking, he says, you see, I have this violin here, maybe I can get at least a few bucks for it, because I got it, found it in the attic of my house, and I want to maybe at least get something for it. And then the guy goes out into the toilet, and another guy comes in, dressed very smart, and then he orders something, then he looks at the violin, then looks again, and he takes the violin and says, wow, he says, where did you get this from? He says, wow, this is some, you know, Amati Stradivari or whatever. He says, this is super expensive. You can easily auction it for, $200,000. And it's lying just here in the bar. How is this possible? Where did you get it from? And the barman says, well, it's not mine. It's just, you know, it's just this guy. He came here. Wow. He says, I cannot believe. It's such a luck. I could even touch such a violin. And he looks at this violin and then he places it. And then he drinks his coffee, goes out. And then the guy comes from the toilet. and then he again asks the barman, so where did you say do you have these music shops? And the barman says, well... I just thought maybe I should buy it from you, you know, for my daughter. I can give. So he says, how much do you give it for it? He says, well, I can give you, and he thinks, wow, I can get $200,000. Yeah. I can give you $500. Whoa, $500. All right, so take it, of course. And then the guy pays $500. He goes out. Then he goes to the shop and finds out that this violin costed $50. It's a symbol. And nobody pushes, right? It's just a game. They exploit the greed. They exploit the psychology.
So.
Fair.
Yes. And there was a lot of cars, of course, and because there he parked somewhere, it was not like parking day, but because there was a lot of cars parked the same.
Yeah.
So when he was coming, when he was returned, he saw the guys who took his car, but this official with uh-huh. dress, yeah. like, in the, and he said, please, excuse me, this is my car, can I? He said, no, this is protocol, you need to take, you know, you need to go to the police, and then you can pick up, please, because then, you know, now we have to do like this. And he said, okay, please tell me, where is this police station? And they explained to him from one, I don't know, next city or whatever, I mean, in the town, and when he got there to the police station, he was explaining about this form, I don't know the name, he took everything, and the police said that that doesn't exist, that they don't know, it was really...
He just stole the car.
Yes. original, wow. But they are stealing
the cars. No, these are thieves. Yeah, so it's this was not a con game. They didn't exploit so much greed, but usually they exploit pride or greed or something like this. So if you are free from the false ego, it's more difficult.
But this person still has to be generous to some extent.
To be what?
This person who, with the violence, in this case, still has to be generous to some extent, because if he was really greedy, he would try to offer, I don't know, $50, not $500. The more generous he is, the more the thieves get.
Well, they play it very well. I mean, this I don't play these games, you know, very much. So I probably missed some detail or two. They usually name the price. I forgot the full story how this goes. As far as I remember, it goes like they get $2,000 for a $10 violin, something like this. The guy usually mentions that this is the price. Somebody told me I can get like this kind of money for this. I can get $1,000 for this violin because they say this is an old violin and something like this. And so then the barman ups the stake and gives more, something like that. It works. All right, so, sadhu can be a cheater. If we dress like a sadhu in order to exploit other people or in order to enjoy, you know, like renounce the work and just enjoy the fruit. So, connected to this, I can ask you a question. How do we avoid being a pretender? Because when we hear this, when Krishna says that, you know, if you are dressed like a sadhu, but you are thinking about the objects of the senses, then you are a pretender. And Prabhupada says, better to be a sweeper in the street, yeah, than a charlatan meditator. So sometimes we are dressed like sadhus, but we have material desires. And we sometimes think about material objects. Sometimes we think about the material objects often. So then what do we do? What does it mean? Does it mean that we should, you know, give up the idea? So how should we not even try to, you know, dress like a devotee? All right, have friends. Yes, they give feedback.
To throw my, to, you know, what to do.
Yes, they can give advice. It's good to have friends. They can reflect to us. They can tell us about our position, and they can help us. They can also encourage us. Okay. Also, very good to have some senior friends. But any friends are very helpful. It's very important to have some friends with whom who can tell you something that you may not like. Are you answering the question or are you asking?
I think I'm answering.
Okay.
I want how to.
You're asking a question. Okay. First, let's get the answer to the question.
Yes, I'm trying. I wanted to say if you have doubt, it doesn't mean that you are that you think that you are a sadhu.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. Yes. If I just put on a doubt, it doesn't mean that I announce that I am, you know, a saint or something.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Venkatabhadra, you had something?
So our best friend is Guru.
Guru, yeah. Guru tells us.
So we can ask for if we have problems with that, and we can confidentially.
Yeah.
Ask for advice.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very good.
Or maybe what comes from previous experiences or in life, which I don't know, with character which you bring, and then to Bhakti Yoga, that you must tolerate, for example, because you cannot do it immediately.
Okay, very good. That's a very good point. So tolerate. What's the difference between someone who tolerates and a pretender?
The one who tolerates suffers.
Try to fix.
Maybe you have consciously want to exploit.
Okay.
Not to feel bad about it or what I'm doing.
So you either are consciously exploiting, or you, how about someone who exploits and then repents, or exploits and repents? And you know, like going to the kitchen stealing maha before it's offered, and it says, oh, I'm sorry.
Pretender.
I'm looking for one point, important point. These are very good answers, and I want to just give one line that summarizes all these points. What is the difference between a pretender and a
responsibility?
Yeah, that's close.
To be honest,
okay, yes. To be honest with ourselves, we don't try to cheat ourselves, very important, and then we don't try to cheat others, yes. I think we need translation, we need somebody to translate. That would be good. Of course, we'll have a kirtan now. But okay, responsibility, honest, and one simpler thing, one very simple thing. Something that's actually connected with today's day.
Blessings. To continue to put some effort in what you're doing, because as long as you keep on trying, you are not again, it's a question of sincerity, but as long as you're trying, even if you're not succeeding, you're not a pretender.
Okay, so continue your effort.
Charity, to give.
To give, okay, be charitable. Determination. the word I'm looking for is
Akshaya.
Akshaya. Akshaya. Akshaya Tritya. Okay. Akshaya Tritya. Today is Akshaya Tritya, the day when Treta Yuga started. It says that whatever you begin today, or you do today, is unlimitedly successful. Unlimitedly successful. It means that's why people do extra charity today, extra yagya today, tapasya, or also set some, begin good projects. Pardon?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yes. So, the word I'm looking for is goals. What is the goal of a person? Very simple, yes. So, a pretender's goal is to exploit. That has to deal with honesty, with sincerity, and determination, responsibility. It's connected. What is my goal? Why do I dress this? What is my goal? What do I want to achieve? What is my project? Yes. Is it a belly filling project, or is it a soul discovering project, truth discovering project? So if I'm working to discover truth, and then you will continue, right? Even despite failures, like the motto of the judo was the judo is the art of falling 7 times in order to stand up 8 times. Right? As long as you stand up one extra time, then you are a winner. So what is our goal? Then if we have this goal, we continue, despite whatever failures or defects we may have, and we keep going. All right. Thank you very much. So let's send our kirtan. Kirtan. And there is no yagya, tapasya, and charity better than Krishna Shravanam and Kirtanam, and Krishna Katha.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Akhanda Mandalakaram Vyaptayena Characharam Tatpadam Darshitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Yasya Prasadadagyapi Sadyak Sarvagyatam Vrajetsa Shri Chaitanya Devame Bhagavan Samprasidatu Tam Shrimat Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande Jagat Gurum Yasyanukam Payashvapi Mahabdi Samtaretsukam. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, the Guru of the whole world, by whose grace even a dog can easily and happily cross a big ocean. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whatever the great man does, common men follow. That was the verse we finished with yesterday. This is the idea behind the advertising. You see some famous actors, sports people, advertising some shampoo or some, deodorant or whatever, something. And the idea is that you look and you see, of course, nowadays, that's our famous people, you know, sportsmen and the actors. So, which would belong to the category of Shudras, actually, right? They are our contemporary idols, and they advertise. Oh, there are many very great people among them also. That's not to say that all of them, that they are bad or something. So that's why Krishna tells Arjuna that even if you are on the higher platform, still you should perform your duty to set the proper example. And by that he begins to answer Arjuna's fourth doubt. Arjuna had 5 reasons why he doesn't want to fight.
compassion, enjoyment, sin, and the fourth one was destruction of the dynasty and the tradition and the culture. It's culture is a great thing. Culture means that you have already developed good habits, right? Culture means you do something and you have the proper mood in doing it, and it helps you to achieve something good like that. And our one of the contemporary tragedies is the rejection of cultures. We reject our cultures because there may be something negative in our cultures. Also, as devotees, sometimes we reject our, so to say, home culture or original culture wholesale. Wholesale. Can you translate it? Yeah. Like the whole thing, everything. Vele prodaya, how do you say? Vele prodayano. So everything, just. Because Krishna says, sarva dharma parityaja. But reject all religions, right? But there were good things in our old culture too, right? There were good things. So then sometimes we reject everything. And that's also why we see in the West we had so much misunderstanding or sometimes extremes. Extremism in ISKCON. We had different kinds of extremists. We had a woman-hating extremism, yeah, for brahmacharis. We had grihastha inimical extremism. Then it went to the other side. We had brahmachari despising extremism. You know, oh, brahmachari is like means useless. He cannot get married. Nobody wants him. So these are different extremisms, and sometimes dry relationships. Yeah. So those who are coming from Indian culture, they are very very lucky because you've got a good culture to fall back on. That's why when Prabhupada, you know, you can see Prabhupada often speaks. It's traditional in India. Always sadhus say, you know, family is Maya. You know what else? Well, that's enough. Family is Maya, right? So if you say this in India, what is the background? The background is that everybody loves each other. Family means very close, warm heart, warming relationships, right? So then, when sadhu says family is Maya, then a cultured Indian person understands, oh yeah, I should understand that absolute truth is higher. So yes, I have to, I have relationships, I love my relatives, but I shouldn't forget that Bhagavan is the highest. So the person continues, still has good relationships, but sets the correct priorities. Yes, in the West, when we hear family is Maya, same thing, we think that, oh, family, it means, poof, you know, it means, like, I know one devotee, he was telling his wife, caress the son. How do you say this in Slovenia? Yeah, embrace and, you know, caress him, good boy or something. Yes. He was forbidding his wife to express her affection to the child. And she loved the child. And she told him, no, that's Maya, you make him attached. You make him attached to the... that's so... I mean, where does it say? Prabhupada, even where it says that knowledge means not being attached to family, Prabhupada says that attachment to family is natural. Affection for family members is natural. It's there. It's all right. And if it's not an obstacle to Krishna consciousness, then there's no reason to reject even family. Right? 13th chapter, verse 8 to 12. But because we don't have the setting, because we have rejected the, we didn't have, oftentimes in the West, we have trouble with, you know, loving families, having loving families, and we don't have the culture of loving relationships. Therefore, we take it to the extreme and take it without the background of the culture, and then we just hurt each other. We just become extremists and we hurt each other. So culture is very important, and for the culture we need traditions. So that's what Arjuna was worried about traditions. So Krishna begins to deal with that doubt by his turning it around and using it against Arjuna. He's saying, okay, so you are extremely famous. Boys, when they play, they say, I am Arjuna, or you are like Arjuna. Yes, you are extremely famous. So if you don't fight, people will think, oh, we don't have to perform our duty. We can do what we feel like. Right? Just what I feel like. Right? Arjuna didn't feel like doing that. And of course, if Arjuna didn't fight, didn't do his duty, so if he can do this, then I can also, right? Forget it, because I don't feel like, you know, I feel like doing something else, right? And then Krishna gives himself as an example. 22. Name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nana vaptam avaptam yam varta eva chakarmani. O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. What was the first example he gave? Janaka. Yeah, Janaka Maharaj. And here he says, okay, son of Pritha, my cousin, I don't need to work. It's not that I need to do something. There's nothing I require. Prabhupada gives some quotes from Shatvashara Upanishad, very beautiful quote, that everything works automatically under his control, sabhaviki, means automatic, naturally. But, 23, if I ever failed to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties of Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. Hare Krishna. You're coming with sweets? Hare Krishna. You have a sweet smile, it's something, but... We meet next Saturday 29th or 28th? 29th. 29th. Saturday 29th. We meet at 3 or 3:30? What do you prefer? 3:30 is better for you all. Better 3. 3:30. Who wants 3? Who wants 3:30? Okay, 3:30 to 6:30. Okay, so Krishna says, if I fail to perform my duties, even though I'm God, but if I don't do my duties, then everybody will follow me. And what will happen, 24, if I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. Utsidayur. It's very interesting. Again, it's connected with sitting. They would be upset. Utsidayur, upset. Also, there's an English word, sedition. Sedition means, funnily enough, it's like a revolt, you know. So it's connected to this word. See, they're upset. All these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population. The very thing you are afraid of. Mixed sankara, mixed population. People who are coming from mixed marriages and therefore have mixed brains. And therefore they are have mixed lives, mixed feelings about everything. They have mixed, you know, we don't know. What should I do? I feel like doing that, but I also feel like doing that. But also I feel like doing that. We are so mixed. We suffer. And we make sure that others know we suffer, and we make others to suffer also. Right? First, beginning, of course, with the cause, with our parents. We make sure that they know we suffer, right? By making them miserable first. So Krishna says, I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. So, this way, Krishna very elegantly deals with the fourth objection by Arjuna, that I will destroy the culture, I will destroy... He says, look, if you don't fight, you will destroy the culture. Yes?
This not only applies to Krishna, but also us, yeah? Because even if we deviate from the prescribed duty...
Yeah? Yes, 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 yes. So therefore, for example, being a successful and exemplary grihastha is a good preaching. You know, working, having happy family life, it's a wonderful and being a devotee at the same time. It's great preaching. It's very important to have, because 99% of the world are not going to be monks, and we need successful examples of successful family people, right? Some role models with whom people can identify and can think, oh, that's nice. They have a nice family life, but at the same time, it's spiritual, and they are spiritually advanced. They are advancing spiritually. So that's a good preaching. So Krishna turns around the argument back onto Arjuna. It's when you don't fight that you create, you destroy the culture. And then somebody may ask, didn't Krishna, show some example that was not a very good example to follow in Vrindavan? What would you say to that? Didn't like Krishna dance with others' wives in the night, or something we shouldn't really imitate? And he says, but I follow. What would you say to that?
I think it was not public.
Okay, yes, it was not public, right? That's one thing. He can, okay. That's important to understand. That's why we have first 9 cantos, and only in the 10th canto we have Rasa Leela, yes?
And also the gopis, they was themselves was divided, not like if some man wants to enjoy his wife, she doesn't want to.
Yeah, it's not that he was coming and, canvassing and... All right. Yeah, okay. And also, it's good to remember that Arjuna was 10 or years old at that time. Arjuna also, but Krishna was 10 years old at that time. So, what a boy does before, in such a young... It's not what he, it's not the example he sets... He's just a child, basically, right? But when he went to Mathura, after he started his education, he didn't even go to back to Vrindavan for the next 3 months, I think. Yeah, Sridhar Swami gives a very funny comment. He says that Krishna went to Sandipani Muni's school in Avantipur, and he learned to control his senses. So he studied. How long did he study there? Anybody remembers from the Krishna book? How many arts there are? 64. How much time did Krishna take for each art?
One day.
So how many days? 60. About 2 months. He studied 2 months. In 2 months he finished everything. And 1 month he spent in Mathura. So he didn't go... So he returned to Mathura, and he didn't go to Vrindavan back immediately. First he sent Uddhava, and Sridhar Swami says, because now Krishna is controlling his senses. So he's not, he's he's a brahmacharya now. of course, he did go after 3 months. It's mentioned in Garga Samhita, Padma Purana. He was going very often, but not publicly, not to attract attention of the terrorists, the demons to Vrindavan, to protect Vrindavan from them. And besides, Prabhupada is speaking about following and imitating. He says following and imitating are not on the same level. Two examples are here. One is Lord Shiva and Shaivas who smoke ganja, saying Shiva is smoking ganja. Although I never saw any description of Shiva smoking ganja. But Shiva also drank an ocean of poison. So can you try to drink, can you do that? And also when we sing Gopijana Vallabha, and we may think, oh, Gopijana Vallabha, that sounds nice, you know, enjoying in the forest, you know, gopis, you know, so you may get thoughts. So that's why the very next line says Girivaradhari. Yes. So yeah, okay, you want to enjoy? Okay, can you lift that house, you know, on your little finger? Just do the entry test, you know, like in some universities you have an entry test. So Krishna, before he danced with the gopis, he lifted the mountain, right, on his finger. Just like one who takes care of the house of one of my friends in Vrindavan. He's from Bengal. He told me a story about some rich guy in Bengal who told his secretary that make an announcement to the village women that tomorrow night I want to do Rosh. He said in Bengali, if you don't know Bengali, Rosh means Rasa. And so the secretary, so tell all the women that tomorrow night I want to do rasa dance. So the secretary, you know, started thinking. He was a devotee. I mean, all of them, most of them are devotees. So then the next day, he in the morning when his master came out, there was a big huge stone in the courtyard, and the master is asking, what is this? And he said, you wanted to do Ras, didn't you? He said, yes. So let's do everything, you know, as it should be, according to the order. So when Krishna did Ras, before that, he lifted Govardhan. So, okay, you cannot get Govardhan, but at least you show that you can lift this big stone. And then, you know, the Ras will be paka, it will be as it should be, Rasadhan. And then the master became ashamed, and then he said, okay, all right, so then cancel. Cancel the arrangements. So you cannot imitate, right? There's following, there's imitating. So if both attached work and those who are detached also work, what's the difference? Then in 25, Krishna says, Sakta karmanya vidvamso yatha kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvamstatha saktas chikirshur loka sangraham. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act but without attachment for the sake of leading people on the right path. That's 25. And 26, Krishna says, Na buddhi bedam janayet. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, people attached, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So, this is Krishna's instruction, which he repeats two times in this chapter, actually. 26 and 29. He says, and this is the idea. This is also the responsibility of a teacher or a preacher to see the level of the person and not to give a task that's beyond the level of the person. Because sometimes we see, we try to preach, and sometimes some people become like paralyzed, because they we give them a very high task, and they cannot do that, and we tell them that the material life is Maya, so we shouldn't do that. So they're like, you know, they just, you know, like, okay, that I cannot do, that I shouldn't do. Okay, so what? So they're like frozen in between. It may happen even to a devotee. So Prabhupada writes here, therefore a realized soul, that's closer to the end of the purport, a realized soul in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others in their activities or understanding, but he should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to the service of Krishna. So this is the most powerful preaching, right? Example. Also, this is the best preaching to the relatives, because the relatives, we often fry our relatives by too much enthusiastic preaching when we condemn them and say, oh, this is demoniac, this is, you're a karmi, this is maya, this is all wrong. You should not do this, you should do like that. And, you know, you tell this to the parents or something, and sometimes even to the wife or to the husband, it doesn't work. But if you act showing how Krishna consciousness makes you a better person, then the other person becomes attracted. There are some extreme examples, like I remember Niranjan Maharaj gave an example of one lady in New York, or Boston, one lady in Boston who had a husband who was not a devotee, and she had to cook meat for him, and she had to do all you know, all kinds of things that a devotee never would do. Similar was with Prabhupada's sister, right? But she would continue doing this in the mood of performing her duty and in a loving spirit, you know, to not disturb the other person, to not disturb her husband. And even though in the beginning he was very inimical to Krishna consciousness, after many years, his heart was so melted by what he saw, by the humble and affectionate behavior of his wife, that eventually he became a devotee. And I know some other examples like that, some extreme examples when that happens. So this is also Krishna's instruction. The basic idea in any teaching is not hired, don't teach. Right? It's the Vedic principle. Not hired, don't teach. A person has to accept you or ask you a question, and then you teach. Okay. You had a question?
Yeah.
Just speak loudly. Ne moraš. U tem uživati ne možeš. Ne moraš. You do this as a duty. Just as a duty. You don't do this with pleasure. Do this as a duty. You may not enjoy this, but you do this as a duty. And then you have to this question?
No, I would like you to repeat what you said. Sorry, I interrupted. Not high, what we didn't hear,
not
high.
Don't teach.
Don't teach.
It's a little gross American expression, you know, hired. You don't really, you cannot really hire a guru or a teacher, right? It's a very gross, but it's intentionally gross to make the point, you know, that first they have to invite you to speak, or they accept you as an authority. You had, Urush, you had something?
But what's the problem? You can still cook meat with love. What should that be a problem? I mean, even if you are a devotee.
She's saying about compassion. How can you?
That thing. I mean, we should be compassionate a month or a year ago when the animal was murdered. Now this. I mean, that's useless. This compassion. I don't see a problem. You have this peace which is detached from animal.
If we are detached, yes, we can do even such things with love. Basically, this is love for the person. We don't like we don't like this act that this is a killed, this is, you know, meat or killed animal. I know another example with sex, when wife was very attached. Well, yeah, they were. She was none of a devotee, and the husband became a devotee. He asked his guru, "What should I do? You know, she expects me to, you know, have sex with her." So the guru told him, "Well, you are her husband. You wait with initiation." You cannot just, you know, kick her out or just drop her. So don't do this for your, like, you know, don't, just do this as your duty. And then, after, I think it took like 1 year or even, or 2 years, and then I met this person, because I was translating that darshan with the guru. I met that person, and he said his wife has become a devotee. And he was already initiated. They both got initiated. Nice memory. So, so you can see that an example of, that's the, we speak about religion, but everybody knows religion should mean compassion, humane relationships. Right? Sometimes we become too philosophical without being humane. Right, without being humane, without being like people, and people don't accept it. Very few people are logical. Even people who take pride in being logical or rational, very few people are rational. All of us are emotional. So if it takes a very sincere seeker of the absolute truth to just accept the theory, right? It means that you're already a yogi from your past life. You don't care about the external, you're already seeking for the truth. All right, so here some amazing statements by Krishna. So Ramanuja Acharya says that's why karma yoga is recommended. Jnana yoga requires, jnana yoga has a high entry level, a very high entry level. Like, it's like a postgraduate study. Like after you get your bachelor's or master's, then you do your postgraduate study. So that's jnana yoga. You have to already be detached. Then you can take sannyas, go to the forest, and so forth. Right? But karma yoga, you just have to be a civilized human being. And everybody, externally, it looks like everybody else. You can act like everybody else. So it has a easier entry level. So Krishna says, don't disturb them by telling them about jnana yoga. Tell them, give them karma yoga. Engage them in positive action in Krishna consciousness. This way, they will, the same force that now binds them If you engage it in Krishna consciousness, it will liberate them. It will be pushing them towards a better goal. Okay, Hare Krishna. Let's take a break for 7 minutes till 1:10 on this clock. 10 minutes. Okay, let's take 10 minutes. And you can chant our Gayatri. Anybody tried to write thank you sentences? Who tried to write thank you sentences? Very good. Did you experience some change in the mood? Who experienced some change in the mood after? Oh, very good, very good. Yeah. This is a very good method which is connected to yagya to remove the ego that binds us, the false ego that binds us. Right? So, again, as Krishna is saying, don't tell people to give up work, but tell them to work for Krishna. Right? That's what he's telling them. So Krishna doesn't say tell them to work for Krishna. Well, for yagya, Krishna is like more gentle. He doesn't still, so far, he's just beginning to explain the whole yoga letter. So how is it possible to work without attachment? What is the principle behind this work without attachment? So one thing is the yagya, we do yagya. And another thing, philosophically, we need some philosophical understanding, and that Krishna gives in verse 27. Verse 27 is a very important verse, and also it's a verse that many Vaishnavas or devotees have difficulty fully understanding. There are discussions going about the truth in this verse for thousands of years with diametrically opposed views. And even you have bona fide Vaishnava Sampradayas which have views diametrically opposed to our conclusion. Alright, so let's chant verse 27. Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So, to put it in gross words, Krishna says, if I think I am the doer, I am an ass, I am a donkey. Right? Mudha, that's how Prabhupada often translates, mudha. That if one thinks he's a doer, he's an ass, right? So, now, how do we take it? So we can recollect our. This is discussed in more detail in chapter 5. Here we just have a short introduction, something that's helpful for karma yoga. Definitely it's there in jnana yoga. So let's just recollect. I think we already did this. You know, with God or Isha, mystic triangle, yes, Isha, and then with the Jiva or the soul, and then with matter. So these are the three candidates for being the actor. Who is the doer? Matter. Chida Chida Nishwara, or Achid. Right? So who is responsible? And these are the topics that that Bhagavad Gita discusses, including karma, right? And how does Krishna stir matter? Time, yes. Kala, time, yes. And what sets us free? Bhakti, yeah. So bhakti is the way out. So here, in this mystic triangle, it's important it's a subtle point that needs to be understood. So for karma yoga, it's important to understand I'm not the doer. And karma yoga means you do work, right? And to do work, it means I achieve some results. To achieve results, I have to set goals, and I have to take responsibility. And take responsibility means I act as a doer. So, is it contradictory? It's very contradictory. And because it's so contradictory, this is why it's a mystery. That's why yoga is a mystery. This is the first level of mystery. This is the first secret of Bhagavad Gita, of the Bhagavad Gita. How to act without acting. Externally, Prabhupada says, two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform. But there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. That's from the purport. So, acting. Krishna plays with this. In the next chapter especially, he even gives out one tongue twister. Tongue twister?
Really?
Yeah. You know, he says, one who sees action and inaction and inaction in action, really sees karma in a karma and a karma in karma. How do you say a tongue twister in Slovenian? How? There are some sayings. So, yes?
Many people take advantage of this verse.
Yes.
That, you know, I am not the doer, you know, kind of how to, like, even sometimes.
Yeah. Like I can come and see. Is that your wallet? Yeah, let me take out. I'm not the doer. Modes did it. Or, you know, I'm just, you know, lying down and the temple commander or the wife comes. Hey, go to work. I'm not the doer. Very easy to misuse. Very easy to misuse. What's the solution here? What solves the misuse? What prevents the misuse? What's the real answer? You have an answer or a question? Yes. Good. Good. Yes. 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 Yes.
So a more concrete wish is setting a goal and then direct gunas or something towards the goal. So I mean that part is out.
Okay. Yes.
Actually not contradictory.
Yes. 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 So we set the goals. So and then the matter fulfills that. Okay. Just like I can go out of the train station and hail the taxi. Then I sit in the taxi, you know, and say, and and I can say to the, take me to the brothel. Or I can say, take me to the temple. So who is working? Huh? Both. Huh? You said both, yeah? Yeah, both. So I may not even know where the brothel is or where the temple is, right? Maybe I don't even know. I just ask the taxi driver. And then he drives, right? But I express the wish. I told him. I chose. The choice is mine. Yeah, choice is mine. It's connected with my previous choices, but still, every time, every human being has a choice. That's why Krishna comes to earth to give Bhagavad Gita. That's why it is so important to take responsibility. Human life, Prabhupada says in Ishvanishad, is the life of responsibility. Yes, to understand we are responsible. We are responsible. Misma odgovorni.
That is the most difficult thing.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's painful.
Yes.
But it's liberating.
Yes. Sometimes my regret is too strong. How can you help such a person?
Start with small steps.
Yeah.
Like, that's what... Yeah, small steps. See what's the interest of the person and somehow connect this interest to move upwards with Krishna, with yagya. Yagya is the answer. I mean, if you are free from desire, yagya is no problem. And if you're not free from desire, yagya is the answer. Right? So we have to find, of course, sometimes you ask a person, what do you desire? Nothing. Yeah. What do you feel? Nothing. So it's a feeling. It's called apathy. When you feel nothing, it's a feeling. And the name of this feeling is apathy, boredom, tiredness, whatever. You know, that's a feeling. So then ask, do you want peace? Do you want joy? Do you want, you know, so you find a way. And then again, the answer is always yagya. Srinivasa Mahārāja, you had a question about bhakti? I didn't catch. Sorry. Oh.
She said that as she understands in bhakti yoga, if we do things that is free from influence of gunas, so bhakta, so here the pure soul acts, actually. She understands it like this, that the soul acts.
Yes.
In bhakti yoga.
Yes. In pure bhakti. In perfect bhakti. Yes, chisti bhakti. Chisti popolni bhakti. When you are pure and perfect, that's how it is. And we have a way to get there. We still have to go some way to get there. Yes. So on the way, we have two options. We can either fight the modes, or we can use the modes. Yeah, we can fight the modes, or we can use the modes. So Krishna recommends use the modes. Yeah. Just like, did we discuss swimming? Before, how if you go and there are big waves in the sea, who was ever swimming in high waves in the sea? Yeah. So how do you enter? Like you are coming into the sea and there are big waves. How do you enter?
Jump
under the wave, right? You have three choices. So there is a big wave. You have three choices. One choice is to just, just stand, but this wave, it has hundreds and thousands of tons. It just, whoop, it just, you know, very easily turns you around. That's one choice. That's karma. Yes. Another choice, you can try to run away from the wave. Yeah? But you know, running in water, you cannot run very fast. So usually the wave catches you and vroom, covers you, right? But if you, instead of running away and instead of fighting the wave, you just go under the wave. And just dive under the wave and whoo, you are out on the other side and no problem, you are swimming. Then dive under the next one. You don't have this experience, no? Yeah. So dive under the next wave. They usually are not so frequent. So that's what Krishna recommends. Or like in the martial arts, that's karma yoga or varnashram dharma. Or like in karate or kung fu. Did we do this already, this experiment here? And did anybody practice some kung fu, wushu, judo, jujutsu here? Huh? Karate. Okay. So when there is a punch going at you, or when there is a kick can have the speed, or the punch can have the speed of 160 kilometers, and or more, and it can be you know, a couple hundred kilos worth. So if you just try to stop it, like if you even if you try to block it, did you have bruises here? Yeah. Even if you try to block it, you just have it's very difficult. But if you're really a master, then you know when it's coming onto you, then you just the master, he just steps aside and you know he is punching, and then you just use the punch and just pull the person along. So that's the when somebody is really expert, use this force of the enemy against himself. So material energy is pushing, is going at us, right? It's pushing, do this, right? And what do? So we can just stand, no, I will not do this, you know, and boom, we fall on the back, right? Or we try to run away, no! Yeah? Or we can just step aside and say, yes, but for Krishna. that's what we learn to do, right? And in karma yoga, it's difficult because again, people have only two ideas in the mind. That's Hegel, right? He's saying, what he says, that there is a thesis, you know. And then there is antithesis. Antithesis, right? So we think either enjoy, right? So that's, or work. Or work, right? Or we think renounce. Bhogatyaga. Bhogatyaga, or karma and jnana, right? So that's either fight or run away, right? But in both cases, this is same platform, same level. They're both on the same level. And in both cases, I think I'm the enjoyer. But now I try to enjoy through work, and here I try to enjoy through not working, through renunciation, through becoming God, and so forth. And neither of the, I'm on the same platform. But you can combine them, right? You can combine them, and then you have a synthesis which is yoga. Yoga, and the ideal yoga, the complete form of yoga is bhakti yoga, right? Where you have, so sin is the same word as we have, it's the Greek derivation from sam, like in Sankirtan, together, in German, zusammen, or sammeln. Yes, some synthesis. It's the same word. Some together. So two theses together. It's synthesis. So you work in a renounced mood, right? So then it's easy. You have desires, okay? There is yagya. You do it, but not for enjoyment. Do it for Krishna. So that's bhakti. Even, you know, even jnanis, they fall into this trap. Like, they say, you should have only one desire for liberation, moksha. But you cannot be free and as long as you have desires. So if you want to have moksha, you cannot have moksha. Right? As long as you want moksha, you cannot have moksha. So that's why Buddhists have this, and everybody has a problem. So that's why Buddhists came up with the idiom, yeah, that's right. It's like, you know, but how do you do this? So then they said, okay, they have this bodhisattva vow that I will not become Buddha until every last atom in this universe also attains the state of Buddha, the nature of Buddha, right? Which is noble and kind of eliminates this urge of becoming a desire to be free. But at the same time, you don't act in a gross way. So they, in other words, still some form of bhakti. It's a form of bhakti, right? Bhakti is the only answer. If you do bhakti, you are free immediately. Immediately you are free. Because you're working and not working. Working, but not for yourself. Even in the material world, when you do something with love, out of love, you feel happy while doing it, even in the process. Lucia, you had some?
Is it important what you do? So, what kind of work you choose to do?
Yes, it's important. Krishna says, so for karma yoga, it has to be according to your nature. He says that it's better to do my own work imperfectly than somebody else's work perfectly. So according to our... So we have general four categories. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So these are like main ideas, broad categories. And Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. These are main categories of nature. Your nature.
Yes.
Two. Yeah. Okay. There are several points. when you do the work that you like or the work that is your nature, you it's easier to renounce actually the fruits because you're already happy doing it. So you love doing it. That's one thing. Another thing. That's why you have a brahmacharya ashram, where brahmachari means you cannot choose. You do what you are told. Yes? And then it means that after you know a few months or a few years, you realize that I really like that. This is my nature, because you cannot choose that, like when you are not allowed to do what is really your nature, then it becomes the loudest. Then you clearly see, yeah, that's my nature. And then usually, you know, it also works better. It comes out better for you. That's the second way to know. And the third way to know, to find out the nature, is to see whom do you envy. In general. Yeah, because usually when I envy not just anybody, you know, like if somebody plays perfect tennis, you know, then, okay. But if I am a cook and somebody cooks something very good or, you know, wonderful, then I feel a little nervous, you know. you know, and especially if it's more or less on the same, we are like the same pattern, we are, you know, that's when I become a little. Some mobile is feeling tortured somewhere. All right? What was the problem?
But you can still think that something is your nature, but it really isn't, that you can envy. I mean, that people. Isn't this possible? I mean, I think I should be a famous musician, but I have no talent. What?
Okay, let me be a small musician. Not famous. So I will play in the bar or some, on the street or something. No problem. But that's my calling. Vocation, calling. Yeah. You. This is a little like a humorous way of defining. It's not like it's scientific, but it has sense. Who? Yes.
That if you want to know what your nature is, that you should find the activity that you are prepared to do, even if they don't pay you.
Uh-huh. Right? That's good.
And when you do it, you are happy, and everybody is happy with what you do. I don't know if it's full, but some policy.
Yeah, it's you're ready to do it without payment, and you are happy, and others are happy. Yeah. Just like management, right? Management means dealing with problems. I remember how Harikesh Manidhar Prabhu was speaking about what Harikesh told him, that he came and complained to Harikesh that, look, this is so many problems, this problem, that problem, from mornings, problems. So Harikesh told him, managers eat problems for breakfast. They cannot live without problems. If there are no problems, he is not needed. Right? What is... And sometimes you see, if you have a kshatriya type person, if you don't give him an enemy, or if you don't give him a problem, he will create problems. Right? He will invent problems. Maybe inside he will see some and start, you know, finding something. Because they need something. So that means that's their name. They love it. All of us would think, you know, problems, we hate problems, but and they love it. Or some people, you know, like to do some things, you know, with hands. Some of us hate it. Some of us love it. Some people like to clean everything. Some of us hate it. Some of us love it. So we have different natures, and this is to be counted.
I'm missing one step in this move of like saying yes, but for Krishna. There are so many things that I personally want, but I don't see a way to offer it to Krishna. For example, if I want to go and see a movie, I mean, I can excuse myself saying, yeah, but there is one Vedic thought in it. But who cares? I know it's wasting of 2 hours and 5 hours.
Yeah, so you can tell the mind, why don't we watch Little Krishna? Please take the principle. It doesn't mean every specific thought. We are speaking about the force. So the mind... Yes, so you recognize the force and don't fight the force. the force behind this, the mind, it says, you want to go to the movie. The force behind it is I want entertainment and I want emotion.
Yes.
That's the force. So don't fight the mind. Say, okay, yes, dear mind, okay, you want entertainment and you want emotion. All right. So why don't we go to Akrura Prabhu's presentation in Celle or something? It will be entertaining and there will be emotion there. Or why don't we, you know, arrange for some? Why don't I call my friend and ask how she's doing and share some realizations from my Krishna book reading with her, right? And this will be positive, helpful, entertaining, and there will be emotion there. Yeah, it's Buddha yoga. It's. Here we are not speaking about small things. We are speaking about action in life in general, direction in life. Because even when I'm doing the right thing, maybe for me it's good to be a grihastha. Like I have a constant need for emotional relationship with the opposite sex and physical relationship and relationship, right? So maybe it's good for me to be a grihastha, right? Okay, so then grihastha is the path, right? So then okay, so then I become a grihastha and then I see another woman. Oh, she looks real good. Or another man. You know, like there was this joke about... it's a long joke. I will not remember this full thing. But they were discussing... They were studying French. Yeah, and in French, it's either he or she. Everything is a he or she. Like in Slavic languages. Same as in German. It's either der, die, das, right? So there are genders. So maybe I can find this joke. Okay. So then the teacher is asking the class, What do you think computer? Is it a male or female? Is it their computer or is it the computer? Or is it, you know, I don't know in French. Anybody knows? Is it la un
el?
El in la. Okay. El in la. So then the teacher divided the class in two groups and to decide. So one group... she divided into women and men. So the man concluded that computers definitely are feminine. Because no one can understand their logic, internal logic, except their creators. Then the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to anyone else.
And potem naravni jezik, ki ga uporabljajo za komuniciranje z drugimi računalniki, je nerazumljiv za vse ostalo.
And even your smallest mistakes are stored in long-term memory for later.
Celo tvoje najmanjše napake na računalniku je skranjeno za dolgoročno spomin, za kasnejšo uporabo.
And as soon as you make a commitment to one computer, you choose one computer, you find yourself spending half your paycheck on accessories for it.
Za en computer, da ga boš kupil, moraš pol svoje svoje plače uporabiti za dodatke, ki grejo zraven
kompjutera. And, but the women said no, computer should be male, masculine.
Ženska pa se rekla, da ne, da so računalnik moškega spola.
So, the first, I don't think you can translate this easily. In order to get their attention, you have to turn them on.
Prvič, če hočeš njihovo pozornost, ne, jih moraš, to je zdaj besedna igra v angleščini.
Very good. Then they have a lot of data, but are still clueless.
Imajo dosti podatkov, moški, ampak so še vedno
They are supposed to help you to solve your problems, but half the time they are the problem. And as soon as you choose one, and you buy one, you realize that if you had waited just a little longer, you could have had a better model. So this is with regards to marriage. Yeah? Even if grihastha life is what I should do, there are rules. So it's the general road, the general direction in which I direct my force that's pushing me, but when it tries to you know, come up with so many other things, that I already control. I direct it to, you know, like to this particular one person, you know, only to this person, or if it's physical relationships, okay, within, you know, within the rules, you know, one time a month according to the rules and so forth. So, and the others you just tolerate or direct them to that particular outlet. That's the idea. It doesn't mean that everything can be done or should be done. It means that the energy behind it, and then once you use the energy and you give some engagement to the energy, then you don't have too many distractions. You can have some control. Once you have some, so the idea is to have positive engagement. That's karma yoga. Yes. And that's also how you control your mind. Give the positive engagement. Mothers know this very well. Yeah? The child, I want this, I want that. Sometimes, you know, he throws a tantrum. You know, it's like, you know, just lies on the floor. I want this, I want this. And then you just show him something shiny. Oh, look, I have, you know, did you see this? You know, the cartels and this. Immediately, Oh, Carlos, okay, so he looks there, okay. So. And he's peaceful. That's the mind also, right? The mind says, oh, I want, I need only this, yeah, that, oh, without this I cannot. So you say, yeah, okay, good, very good. How about this? Oh, what is that? And you give a positive engagement, proper engagement, and then it's controlled. That's what Prabhupada says. So, when the child tries to eat dirt, give them a sweet. The mind wants to work in Maya, give them work for Krishna. This answers. Okay. regarding, let's come back to the verse. This is a very tricky verse. So, are we the doer or are we not the doer? Both. We are both the doer and not the doer. So, Prabhupada gives a hint in the purport. What does it mean that if I think I'm a doer, I am an ass? When I am an ass if I think I'm a doer?
When I take credit for what I do.
Fruits. Okay.
We are speaking about doership now. So, Prabhupada gives a clue who is a donkey when he thinks he's a doer. He says, the person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently. That's the key word, independent. Right? So, if Jiva thinks, I am an independent doer, then that means mudha. Right? But if one thinks I am a doer but dependent, then that's intelligence. We understand I am responsible. So all three are the doers, actually. All three are doers. But matter is dead. Yeah, it's by definition. Matter is dead by itself, without the living entity. Lord is neutral. Right? The Lord is neutral. And the Jiva is not independent, but is responsible. So, all three perform the action, but we are choosing. And then the Lord gives sanction, and then the matter does the thing. So we sit in the taxi and tell, to the temple, right? And then the driver drives, and the engine, vroom, vroom, and then it goes. Yeah, so all three are doers, but we are responsible. That's why we enjoy or suffer, because we choose. We choose where to go. So that's the idea. There are many factors. We are not the only factor. And one who thinks I'm the only doer is a fool. That's the idea here. You had a question?
What is my nature? Do we need to get to the sattva-guna to find our nature, or is it already?
Well, sattva-guna.
Because you're different in sattva-guna than in tamas-guna. You're acting is different on the same.
We are not composed of only one layer. We have many layers. So yeah, there has to be some sattva guna. Just even desire to learn what is my nature is already sattvic. Right? And then when you turn to some authority, it's sattvic. When you consult friends and gurus, it's sattvic. Sattva guna, it's verlina. So, and then you see clearly, but maybe I have some passionate desires, or maybe some tamasic desires, or mixed desires, and then, that's why we have, four varnas, four ashramas, and in these four varnas also so many subdivisions. But basically, the main idea, four main varnas, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, that's the four main forms of activity. Four parameters. So there is a proof in text 28 that Balde Vidyabhushan gives that we are the doer, because in text 28 it says tattavitu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajjate. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, almighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. How does it, where do you see that we are the doer in this verse?
The one who
Okay, so how does it show?
He makes his choice.
He makes his choice, right. So he, matva, he understands, he knows, he does not engage. That's an action, that's a choice. Right? Then so that's a choice. All right, so when we understand this, it's much easier to perform karma yoga. And karma yoga is just an element of bhakti yoga. Bhakti makes it much easier. In karma yoga, you have to do and not do. Do, but very detached, right? But bhakti yoga makes it so beautiful because you do for Krishna, right? So you have a goal, you have a person to whom you dedicate this. So you can do with devotion, and it makes it much easier than just karma yoga. If you just have just karma yoga, you try to be detached like Buddhists, you know. It's so difficult.
So in karma yoga, when you detach the fruits, where do you detach?
Yeah, even in karma yoga, you give them somewhere. Give to the temple, give to sadhus, to monasteries, to charity.
So if you give to the temple, is it some kind of also giving to Krishna?
It can be different temples. One can bring it to some other temple. Okay, so why don't we all stand up and are dependent doers. Yes, we are responsible, but we are not independent. This is very, very important and deep point. In the fifth chapter, we discuss it again. And if we understand that, just understanding this removes all the, I don't know, probably 99% of obstacles in bhakti. And understanding just some of these points can lead us throw open the door to Vaikuntha. How we are responsible, but not independent, the spiritual world. Now, again, 29, Krishna again warns Arjuna. He says, bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them. Although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So, Prabhupada says, ignorant men think of the body as the self. They accept bodily connections with others as kinsmanship. The land in which the body is obtained is their object of worship. And they consider the formalities of religious rituals to be ends in themselves. So this is why we usually reject culture, our culture, this dead part, you know, in that culture, unthinking action, without knowing the goal. That's what we didn't like in our culture, but. If culture helps to reach our goals, it means it's a good culture. Social work, nationalism, and altruism are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. Under the spell of such designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. And then, 29. However, so can you please read loudly, Sivina Madhaji? Tisti, huh? Na glas.
Tisti, ki imajo duhovno znanje.
How do you say louder?
Glasneje. Tisti, ki imajo duhovno znanje, ne bi smeli, jaz sem čist glasen. Tisti, ki imajo duhovno znanje, ne bi smeli znemirati takih materialističnih ljudi. Bolje je, da tiho naprej opravljajo svoje duhovne dejavnosti, zmeden ljudi pa lahko poučijo o nenasilju in drugih osnovnih moralnih načelih, ter jih zaposlijo z materialnim dobrodelnim delovanjem. I džaj.
Okay.
That point, how do you say, fell into my eyes also?
Yes, yes. But then you can read the next, dali lahko naprej, huh?
Nevedni ljudje ne znajo ceniti dejavnosti zavesti Krišne, zato Gospod Krišna svetuje, naj jih ne vznemirjamo, saj s tem samo zapravljamo dragoceni čas. Gospodovi bakte pa so ljubeznivejši od samega Gospoda. Ker poznajo Gospodovo željo, tvegajo vse in poskušajo celo nevedneže zaposliti z dejavnostmi zavesti Krišne, ki so za človeka nujno potrebne.
Yes, thank you. So... what do you do? How do we take? So, Krishna says, don't do this. Prabhupada says, preach Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And so, how do we understand this? Why do we disturb people? We go on the street, sell books. Uh-huh. So if a person is peacefully sleeping, don't bother. But if he has a nightmare, then you're like, okay, it's good.
Jaz mislim, da ko je bakta srečna, potem hoče pač drugim pokazati to srečo.
Yes, 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 yes.
Na pravilni način, na drugaš pa res...
Yes, yes, yes. And there is also one more important difference here. Krishna... says, don't teach an ignorant person jnana yoga. Don't teach them jnana yoga. You know, go to forest, everything is Maya, you are in Maya, work is Maya. Don't teach them jnana yoga and tell them, you know, just sit and meditate. It will not work. But engage them in karma yoga. But Prabhupada is saying, teach them bhakti yoga. So what Prabhupada is speaking about is not what Krishna says not to do. Right? So bhakti yoga is a positive engagement. We are not telling people drop everything, go to the forest. Right? Okay. This is a step. Bhakti yoga is perfection which has all the elements. And whereas, do you have this handbook? So meditation is just under bhakti yoga. And outside of the bhakti school, it requires a very high qualification. Very, very few people are able to sit and meditate without being disturbed. And that's usually coming after Jnana Yoga. And Jnana Yoga means you know, you realize what is spirit. And also usually you are, it's like for monks. So that also comes after Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, when you learn to renounce the fruits, and that's described in the chapter 5, when you renounce the fruits, then ego dissolves. Then you naturally become qualified for the Jnana Yoga. So that's why Krishna says, do Karma Yoga, renounce the fruits, not the work. Renounce the fruits, not the work. And then knowledge will come more and more. More and more. And Bhakti Yoga means many different things. It can mean meditating on Krishna, sitting in the forest, just chanting and meditating on Krishna. Yes? Being absorbed in meditation. Or it can mean, like breaking these bricks and putting in the windows. It's also bhakti yoga. You do this for Krishna. And again, while doing this, you can be thinking about how Lalita Devi and Vishakha, they build a beautiful flower bower, you know, for Krishna. What? Because it has more. It has love. In meditation, love has not awakened yet. That's one thing. Plus, bhakti yoga can begin, has everything. Bhakti yoga includes everything. Even in dhyana yoga, even in Patanjali Yoga Sutra, you see, first chapter describes samadhi, and then second chapter, then Patanjali says, do Kriya Yoga. And Kriya Yoga, he says, what is Kriya Yoga? He says, Ishvara Pranidhan, surrender to the Lord, serve the Lord, study the Shastra. So they chant mantras and do austerity. Why? Because samadhi is very, very high thing. And we have so many distractions in the mind, so many desires in the mind, so many thoughts in the mind. Samadhi means no thoughts. Right? So, where thoughts are coming from? From the attachments. So that's why Patanjali says, okay, do karma yoga, do kriya yoga, do bhakti yoga, and the mind will become purified. You will give up the attachments. So do yagya, do sacrifice. We sacrifice money, time, energy, intelligence, thoughts, actions. And this way, our desires become more and more pure, higher. And in this way, our mind becomes more peaceful and internal. And then we can meditate more deep. And even while doing that, you can meditate, you can be in samadhi, in bhakti.
Yes.
And then you get through the steps, and that's why it's so difficult. It's misconcept people have about meditation.
Yeah, meditation means that there is not a single thought in the mind. Is it easy? Did you try meditation? So is it easy to have no thoughts in the mind?
But for some people it's natural. I mean that's a joke for some.
To have no thoughts.
having no thoughts, but.
An average person has 70,000 thoughts per day. An average person has 70,000 thoughts per day. 70,000. And. It's not meditation. And bhakti is difficult only in the sense that we have to become humble. So in that sense, yes, some people are ready, better, they will do austerity, they will sit in the ice-cold water in Himalayas, but they will still think, I am the Lord, I am God, or I am great. Rather than humbly say, I am your servant. In that sense, yes, bhakti is more difficult. But it's more simple. Alright, so, next, verse 30, therefore Krishna tries to help us. We have a spoon, teaspoon. In second chapter we had a drop of bhakti, yukta asina matpara. And in third chapter, in this recipe of the Bhagavad Gita, we already get a spoon of bhakti. So this is this verse, text 30. So Krishna finally let us get some help from him, saying, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya dhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvara. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires to profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight! So, nirashir nirmamo. Like in the, Prabhupada gives two examples, like in the army, and like in the bank, the cashier may count millions, but he doesn't claim any of this money for himself. So, these are some examples. In this way, you become free from, it's easy, even to perform karma yoga, so much easier. You surrender, Krishna says, you can surrender to me, give that to me. Not just become impersonally detached, that's very difficult. Although easier than Jnana Yoga. But give it to me, Mayi, Krishna says. So, also Patanjali Yoga Sutra, the manual for meditation. Patanjali says, yes, you can meditate on different things, but if you meditate on the Lord helps you. You get mercy. Right? So, and here, Patanjali definitely recommends. I mean, it's not even a recommendation, it's an order. It's one of the niyamas, Ishvara Pranidhan. There is no yoga without surrendering to the Lord. So, you can see, it's interesting. He says, sannyasya adhyatma chetasa. So, he's using the word sannyasa, that Arjuna wanted to take sannyas, but he says, you surrender your mind to me, your consciousness to me, and surrender the works to me. Give sannyas, so renounce them to me, offer them to me. Yeah? So you become a sannyasi while working. Yeah? 31. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. So, if we just accept authority of Shastra and Krishna, just accepting this, yeah, we are just trying to have faith and follow this, then we become free. Muchyante. We become free. Envious person is impossible. If somebody is envious, Krishna speaks about them in 32. But those who out of envy disregard these teachings and do not follow them regularly are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors for perfection. Because when we are envious of God, then, you know, He's the boss. You know, how can we get anything? We can get only some scraps, nothing. So this 31 is very interesting. Prabhupada is writing something that's coming from the 11th canto. It's near the end of the purport. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. You can look into the purport. It's in the purport. 31. But, now listen to this, an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. The person cannot even do it, but he does not reject. And he becomes free. Baldev Vidyabhushan says all obstacles are removed gradually. So why he cannot do? Because too strong desires and too strong influence of ignorance and so forth. But if he at least accepts with faith, at least theoretically, he doesn't try to argue with Shastra and with Krishna, then Krishna says he becomes liberated. Even though he cannot do. He's not doing it. But he accepts. It's amazing, isn't it? That's the beauty of bhakti. Then Prabhupada says, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat or hope and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. It's the end of the purport. So, did you hear this? So, I'll read it again. Козачне розвіяти завість Кришни. Морда не делує натанко по господових наводилих. Тода, кер їм не наспротує ін іскрено дела, туди че доживі пораза, ліпа сега лоті брезуб, бо готово напредував ін розвіл чисто завість Кришни. So, what can be easier?
And more merciful.
Yes. Merciful Krishna ki jai. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Mark ki jai. Yeah. That's coming from the 11th canto. Krishna says the same thing.
Really?
Yes. Uddhava Gita. He says, my devotee, even though he cannot give up some sense enjoyment, and he knows, but he condemns himself, and he just, but he never gives up bhakti. So he says he should just be happy and continue. And gradually he says, I will purify him. He says he should be happy. Yeah. Hope against hope. Hope against hope. So without consideration of defeat and hopelessness. Devotee says, anyway, I'm hopeless. It's impossible for me. But I'm a servant. I'll just do something, whatever I can do. I'll just chant, do something. Klada? Yes. Yeah, that's in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a quote from 10th canto, 53rd chapter. That's about klada. That's a good. Thank you. So then there comes a section about injunctions, what to do and what not to do. Krishna says, Arjuna may ask, so why don't people obey Shastra? So then Krishna may say, well, just as criminals, there is a law, but criminals disobey. So in the same way, people can disobey. Yeah. And we have some nature from previous lives. And 33, Krishna says, can you please read loudly, 33? No, the translation. Prevod. Yeah. What can repression accomplish? Then Prabhupada concludes in the purport, therefore, without being fully in Krishna consciousness, one should not give up his occupational duties. No one should suddenly give up his prescribed duties and become a so-called yogi or transcendentalist artificially. It is better to be situated in one's position and to try to attain Krishna consciousness under superior training. Thus, one may be freed from the clutches of Krishna's Maya. We have seen hippies who were trying to give up everything. And what was the end? Just drugs, illicit sex, and just either they go back or they just, live. They don't achieve anything transcendental. So why not act according to the Shastra why not work honestly and by detached mood advance gradually in Krishna consciousness. So 34 speaks about the Shastric injunctions, that there are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects in the Shastra, right? They regulate. So why Shastra is needed? Because it regulates. We are attached and averse, and Shastra regulates. At the same time, one should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So then Prabhupada says, for example, sex enjoyment is a necessity for the conditioned soul. Wow, that sounds nice, right? And sex enjoyment is allowed under the license of marriage ties. According to scriptural injunctions, one is forbidden to engage in sex relationships with any women other than one's wife. You can just read maybe from the... It begins with sex. Yeah, I mean, you can read for them. Yeah. So only with one's wife. All other women are to be considered as one's mother. But in spite of such injunctions, a man is still inclined to have sex relationships with other women, or a woman with other men. These propensities are to be curbed. Otherwise, they will be stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. As long as the material body is there, the necessities of the material body are allowed, but under rules and regulations. So that's the idea. So there. So we find parameters, and within certain parameters, they are regulated. But when some extra desire comes, then that we curb, that we control. And Krishna consciousness helps us to achieve complete detachment from everything. And then 35, a very famous verse. Krishna speaks this verse 2 times in the Bhagavad Gita. He repeats it in chapter 18. Let's chant this verse. Shreyan svadharmo viguna paradharmat svanushtitat svadharme nidanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. So, Prabhupada writes here in the purport, everyone has to cleanse his heart by a gradual process, not abruptly. However, when one transcends the modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. So, from which platform can you do anything on the yoga ladder? The question is, Prabhupada says that from when you are purified in Krishna consciousness or under training, you can be engaged in any service. So what is the level from which you can do any? Chisti Bhakta, okay. So, and here on the yoga ladder, if you nishkama karma, you do your nature. So that's from the platform of jnana yoga. So jnana yoga, that means you already learned the secret, and you already learned the secret of working with detachment, and your heart is already free from any attachments, and then you can do anything. Now, tell me please, how can death be better, or destruction, how can destruction be better than performing another person's duty? How can it be better? Karmic consequences? But you're already dead? Then what?
More lost and bewildered.
Yeah. So in other words, I will say. So in other words, it's like, for example, I have more inclination to be a preacher, right? Brahminical activity. But I think no, there is. It's too insecure. You cannot predict, you know, the relatives, everybody tells you, you cannot predict, you know, how much money you will have or not, how can you support your family. And so why don't you better become a dentist? Dentists, very steady income. I have a devotee friend who lives in a very far away village. And he has the biggest car in the village. and not many people have cars in the village because he's a dentist. So it's a steady work. So maybe, so I can think, okay, so I'll be just a dentist, right? And then what happens? If, just from the point of view of karma, so after I die, having lived a rich life, with the money from dental work, I die, and what happens in the next life? I will still have these unfulfilled desires, and I will have to take birth again, and I will have to meet the same problem. I will meet the same problem, and again, and if I do the same thing again, next time, again I die, again I take birth, the same problem. Whereas, just theoretically. Let's say I said, no, I will be a preacher. So I become a preacher and nobody gives me any donations and I die of hunger. after a few years, right? Then what happens? I acted according to my nature and therefore I already worked out that kind of desires. So in the next life I can go forward. I can go next. So it means I die one time. The other person, he dies many times. And he just goes in circle. Here, I die maybe one time. Of course, preachers usually don't die of hunger. Has anybody heard of any preacher dying of hunger? I think it's very difficult to... Yeah, then that's completely, yes. Yes. Of course, like in Vrindavan, they say that two wives of the brahmanas are bragging to each other. One is saying that when my husband is invited somewhere, they have to bring him home on the bed. Because he eats so much, he cannot walk. They bring him back home on the bed. So this other Brahmani says, but they bring him home, right? My husband, when he goes, they bring him directly to hospital. Okay, now Arjuna has a question and Krishna gives him an answer. I think we can do this in 20 minutes. So Arjuna is asking, that's Arjuna's, you can say, third question, third big question. Yes, O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? right?
Yeah.
I think I said, well, we had question in the beginning of the chapter. We had a question at the end of the second chapter. And we had also the first question when Arjuna asks, what's the best for me?
Yeah.
So this would be the fourth, maybe, yes. Okay. Okay, so Prabhupada says, sinful actions are not impelled by super soul, but are due to another cause, as the Lord explains in the next verse. So, like Arjuna say, I may take a vow, I will do like this. But then, how many vows we take, and then we cannot follow? So there is a... What pushes us? What makes us do things? I don't want to do this, and still I do this. So what is it? What is this force? Yeah. And Krishna says, let's chant all together, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Samudbhava Mahasano Mahapapma Vidyena Mihavairinam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. So Mahasana, it means all-devouring, prožerliv, prožerliv. So it means, we may think, okay, we give it something and then it becomes satisfied. But it's never, it's, you know, no matter how much you feed, it always wants more. It's cannot be, it's insatiable. So
tend to say that the more you feed, the more you will be detached.
Yeah, and who said? Osho. And Osho, yeah. And then what happened? Did he become satisfied? How many Rolls Royces did he have?
Some 65.
Yeah. 60, yeah. So why didn't it stop? Why didn't he become detached on the 10th? Only death stopped him. It didn't work on him. It didn't work on the guru. Right? So how can it work on his disciples? Why do you need 64 Rolls Royces? How can you use 64 Rolls Royces? Okay, maybe 5. Even that, I don't know. But 64? How can you use 64 Rolls Royces? You cannot. Right?
Yeah. Maybe he meditates on each Rolls Royce's quality of Krishna. Maybe he acts as a charya for most fallen ones of his disciples.
Yeah, to show how stupid is this idea. To show that this is completely stupid. He himself is the proof that his philosophy is wrong. All right, you had a question before? All right. So, the idea here was... It's a very funny point here, because again, who is the doer? Who is the doer? I am responsible, but I am not independent. So, matter can is matter pushing me? Matter is under God's control. So, does God push me? But I don't want to desire this. Why do I still desire this? So what is lust? Is lust mine or matter's or his decision?
It's mine, but it's like cancer of the soul. These are my own cells, but they work against me. Isn't it? Because lust is actually lust to Krishna changed. Isn't it?
Yes. Marco?
Yeah, when senses and matter come
in touch.
Yeah.
So we will discuss the process, how it happens actually. That,
like magnets in physical positions.
Yes, yes.
The body is like magnet for material things, and then dust comes.
Okay.
When in contact with objects or senses, the soul starts having attachment to them.
When one meditates on objects, when one thinks, contemplates the objects. So, when one contemplates, dhyaya to vishayan pumsam, pumsas. This is 260 approximately. 262. When you think of them, yes. So, then you identify with them, and then you desire them. So, how it happens? So there is an act, right? An act with the ego. Act where I think, uživam, or I suffer. Terpim. So, there is some act, and I somehow I think I am the. There is an ego, or I am the enjoyer, right? Then it creates samskara or impression. It's the exact translation. It like presses on the mind, puts a stamp. You know, I drank. It was a hot day. I drank cool Coca-Cola, and I thought, it's so good. Yeah, so it creates a samskara. Then this samskara is stored as vasana. So vasana, these are stored impressions. Yes, and then it remains. It goes into memory, long-term memory. Or something. It is memory, actually, vasana. It's long, deep hidden memory. And then something stirs this memory. Maybe like we see something, like I see a Coca-Cola advertisement, or I see somebody drinking something, or something. Something touches, activates this. Or I see Coca-Cola in front of me, or it's a hot day. Something connects. Like that? Association, yes. Then, what happens next, there is a vritti. Vritti, or we can say some thought. Yeah, some kind of thought in the mind is coming. Then, what is coming next is kalpana, which is imagination. Yes, I think Coca-Cola, and then I start imagining, if I drank some cold Coca-Cola now, how would I feel? Right? That's the next one. Then the next one is vega or urge. Yes, urge. Push. Yeah, some push. Some puriv, yeah. Then, the next one is vikara. It's a bodily transformation. Like, in this case, I start salivating. You know, like... So some the body is changing, and then the next one, sankalpa. I decide. I will drink some. Yes, and after that, what happens? It goes back again here, and this cycle rolls on and on and on and on. Cycle. So, when it's come to hear bodily transformation, it's very difficult to stop. But this is like here, we can be stopped only by, you know, remembering our vows to Guru or something. So only Guru can save us. Some special, maybe Guru can save. That's why we take vows. Where we should stop consciously is here. So here we should, as soon as a thought comes, that should be a sign for us that stop here, right? Yeah, don't imagine. No second thoughts. Don't let your imagination play. Right? That's where you stop. However, if you go to the root, this is the root, that I'm not the enjoyer, then this is all burned. The impressions are burned. So this is what we are doing. If we are able to surrender, that's surrender. Surrender means giving up ego. So if we actually surrender, this is surrender. This is surrender. Right? So at least if we are intelligent, we don't allow the imagination, our imagination, to take over. Right? However, if we are able to surrender our attachments, our identification, I am the enjoyer, then the whole problem is solved. So this is what we are doing. So it comes, and it's possible. Krishna explains how is it possible. So he says, 38, as fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. So smoke, mirror, and womb. So it's like tamagun, rajagun, and satagun. So a human being is like satagun, just a little smoke over a fire. And, you know, just a little more wind, and then it's clear. Or it's like karma yoga, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. It's already clear, just a little direction, and person can be free. But mirror, you have to put some more effort. An embryo, We just have to wait. So that's tamagun. It's like animal species, or, you know, what can you do? You have to wait. They're completely covered. And 39, thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by this eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So the shackles of sex life, Prabhupada speaks about shackles of sex life in the material world. These are the invisible chains that keep us here. And it is an eternal enemy of a wise person, wise living entities. A foolish person doesn't think it's an enemy. Foolish person thinks that if I don't have lust, I should go and take a pill. Viagra and whatever, you know. But it's possible to become free because where the lust sits, what are the places where the lust sits?
Intelligence,
mind, and senses. Yes. Verse 40. The senses, the mind, and intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. So now, where do we start to control? The senses or the intelligence? Mind. Okay, who says senses? We start with senses. Who says we start with intelligence? Who says we start with the mind? Okay, let's read what Krishna says. 41. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So, senses, it's easier. We just, like, you know, just become vegetarian, right? So that already you can control the senses. Just change your way of action. Yes, that's the beginning. And then we purify by that. Our senses become purified. The mind become purified, and we can our faith becomes stronger, and we can surrender more of our ego. Senses are also part of our ego, but we give up our ego more and more. We stop identifying more and more. And that's why we, you know, purify, burn more and more of this dirty memory and of these sitting places of lust. So, it's possible because Srila Prabhupada says, it's possible because Krishna says, 42, the working senses are superior to dull matter. The mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So that's why it's possible. So therefore, if we engage the soul in Krishna's service, therefore all below become controlled, become engaged in Krishna's service. Then the senses becomes like serpents with broken fangs. Not dangerous. Therefore, evam budhe param budhva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi satru mahabaho kamarupa durasadam. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna, you are mighty armed, but I will say you are mighty armed when you do this. You should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So this is Krishna's instruction, and in this instruction there is the advice, knowledge and power. So, by intelligence, he says, atmanam atmana. So, steady the self by the self. Prabhupada translates this as intelligence, steady the mind by intelligence. Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, steady the mind, control the mind by buddhi yoga or nishkama karma yoga. By nishkama karma yoga, you can. So, in other words, by spiritual strength, we are not just trying to stop the mind. We are directing. We are using this power and directing, offering it to Krishna. We are using it for Krishna. All this power, and then it becomes yoga. And then it moves us to Krishna. And then the mind becomes steady, like a bicycle. If you try to stand on one place on a bicycle, what will happen? Anybody tried to balance yourself on bicycle, standing on one, without moving? Is it
easy?
Yeah.
It's easy, but not for a long time.
Not?
Okay,
psychology, yeah. I remember once I was chanting japa and I saw some people, you know, these bikes, special bikes. Did I tell you this? How they were? And I saw there were some big slabs of stone. And these guys, they had some these special bikes and they were jumping on the stones and they were balancing on one wheel. They were going, there was some construction site and they were jumping up, 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 up on these concrete cement slabs. They were going up and then jumping down. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought, wow, how is it possible? You know? Then I thought, how much training did it take? It probably took like 1 or 2 years, maybe more. And then I thought, if I put so much energy as they put into balancing their bikes, if I put so much energy into my attentive japa, how would I chant now? You know, if they can balance their bike, you know, if I trained as hard as they trained, I could probably balance my mind. I could probably control my mind. Yeah? But if you move on the bike, so that's like karma yoga without bhakti. But if you move the bike, then even a child can balance the bike very easily. So in the same way, if we engage ourselves in a positive activity, then the mind is automatically controlled. So we engage ourselves in loving service for Krishna, and it comes automatically. Everything is coming. So now, this is what Krishna says. Now, for the exercise, you can try to do several things, at least two things. So one thing, next time our mind is disturbed, next time we are in any way disturbed by whatever, any desires or anger or irritation, or it can even be boredom or tiredness, whatever it is there. We can try what we should do. Usually it's something more active, some strong desire or anger. These are the main disturbances in our mind, lust and anger. So we can redirect our consciousness on something positive. So we can engage our mind in some positive service for Krishna, or some Krishna katha. If there is a, like you said, desire for, you know, go watch some movie, or desire to waste some time on internet, or criticize somebody, or engage in some negative thoughts, unnecessary negative thoughts, or self-pity, suffering, or some imaginative enjoyment in the mind, or what else can there be? So whatever it is, or we think about some other person and about how our problems in the relationship with that person, about their faults or something. So we can try to replace these undesirable thoughts with some thoughts about Krishna's qualities, or about some project that you want to offer to Krishna. We can start with the gratitude. We can first thank Krishna. So accept the situation. We can thank Krishna. Krishna, thank you for this disturbance. Because of this, because of that, because of that. So write 10 thank you sentences. Thank Krishna. And then so you don't have to fight your mind, and then try to direct the thoughts on some positive service, what you can do for Krishna, something that, that actually draws our attention. And this is the exercise. This is what we should do. And to do that, what we need is to accept I'm a servant. I'm not the enjoyer, I'm not the controller, I'm not the friend of the whole world. I'm a servant. Shachinandan Swami says, this is the magic mantra that he said helps him. Because whenever there is some disturbance, then he just tells himself, Dasoham, I'm a servant. I'm just a servant. And then when we accept that I'm a servant, it means I'm not the controller, I'm not the enjoyer, means I'm not the friend of to be admired by everybody. I'm just a servant. What is my task is just to serve. And then as soon as if you are able to knock out that ego of the enjoyer and the controller, then all of this other thing, all of these disturbances and urges and pushes, they dissolve. They just go away. All of them go away. So these two things. One thing, whenever some disturbance comes, you notice it. Observe the state of your mind. As soon as it becomes less than enthusiastically and happily engaged in Krishna consciousness, then replace the thank Krishna for the disturbance, find reasons why you thank, then engage. So so if there is any disturbance, then write 10 thank you, or compose 10 thank you sentences, then direct or think about serving Krishna. So think what can you do for Krishna, and accept dasoham. I am a servant, as opposed to the enjoyer and controller and so forth. And then write down your experiences. You can send me a letter. What is your experience, or how does it go? Write it down in your diary and see. It's also good if you begin with writing down what is your usual problem. Is it apathy? Is it grief, sadness, depression? Is it fear and anxiety and worry? You can write it down now. What is like most often problem? Apathy, boredom, inactivity. Is it grief and sadness? Is it fear and anxiety and worry? Is it lust and desire? Is it anger at something, irritation, or is it pride? Is it pride and competition with somebody, rivalry and envy, desire for approval? Yeah? So you can write down somewhere in your diary and see what are the most common, most frequent problems, and then apply this thanking Krishna, directing thoughts on service, and then surrendering the ego accepting I'm just a servant. Cutting the knot of ego that connects us to this problem. And then practice this, and then after some time, again, mark yourself, see what is now the level of your problems. Is it the same or is it higher? Have you moved closer to peace and into higher energy? Okay, thank you very much. You have been very tolerant and attentive and listened well. I hope to see you next Saturday. Sorry, after one Saturday, yes, after 2 weeks. Yes, we begin chapter 4. We will have an exam. I'm thinking either to have it on Sunday or to have it maybe next Saturday or Sunday, like in June, whatever, 5th or something, 4th. It's all there. There is at the end there are sample questions. So these are all the questions for the exam. Will be composed of these questions and verses. Yeah. So this is for 3 chapters. This is only this and this, only these questions. There's not so many for 3 chapters and. Written. There will be questions, and then you just write the answers.
I'm not here in the first week.
Okay, we'll see. And meanwhile, it's already you can already start writing your essays, your personal program for achieving some desirable quality in Krishna consciousness. And or how to overcome one obstacle or anartha. Also here in that small study guide on page 33 you have some criteria about marking the essays. So 70 is when everything is, if it's okay, it's 70% and or 65%, and then what is needed to have a higher percentage, that's mentioned there.
So how many pages?
One page. Oh, for the program. One page of A4, 1 to 2 pages. 1 or 2 pages, A4, typed, preferred. All right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.